This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Chomsky, go to alternativeradio.org. The title of the program is State Spying and Other Matters. You are listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM, 91.9 FM Hood River and the Gorge, 104.3 FM, Philomath and Corvallis. The time is 10 o'clock straight up. Coming up next, Air Cascadia. Headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15 on Flashpoints, a look at the connections between yesterday's massive car bombing in Beirut, Lebanon, and the civil war in Syria. And a report on the fight for freedom of the press at Bradley Manning's trial. And at 11 on the Dirtbag, host Glenn Andreessen and guest Jim Gilbert discuss how to prune your home orchard. The plant of the month is parsnips.
PDX Pop Now returns for their 2013 festival from July 19th to July 21st, located at East Bank Lot on the corner of Southeast Water and Salmon. It's an all-ages event showcasing Portland's incredibly diverse musical talent. Bringing the festival to two outdoor stages for the very first time, the three-day event will feature 45 bands, a food court, activity area, Brigitte's Ball, a street fair, and even more, making this the biggest and most interactive festival experience yet in the history of this event. For more information, go to kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
On Thursday, July 18th, from 5:30 to 7 p.m., KBOO will be broadcasting the first town hall meeting called by the nonprofit group Article 5 Convention for Our Children's Future on the issue of the national defense budget. Experts on the panel include Dr. Robert Pollan, Dr. Miriam Pemberton, and Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson. Once again, you can tune in on Thursday, July 18th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. on KBOO Portland.
Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, July 10th, 2013, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Why can't Senator Ron Wyden see the forest for the trees? Could it be that Morro Pacific cold dust is clouding the atmosphere? And what's gone Hales Wire at City Hall? All this talk about strong mayors and the preference for Charlie Hill's experience. We forgot that Charlie Hill's experience is mainly in the private sector. And why the US won't be able to understand Egypt until it begins to see that country in the light of Egypt's self-interest rather than its own self-interest. And then we have first this from the National Weather Service today. Sunny with a high around 79. Mild winds tonight. Increasing clouds, lows around 56. It could be a bit breezy. The National Weather Service has 7 to 14, gusting up to 21 miles per hour. Probably a bit higher out in the gorge. And for tomorrow, cloudy skies gradually clearing. A sunny afternoon with a high in the 75 and light winds tomorrow night. Cloudy and lows around 55. The alternative forecast, the waxing crescent leaf moon in Cancer is 2 days old. The synodic forecast suggests leafy vegetables and annuals that produce above ground. And don't forget, grains, you can always do that, and they make a terrific cover crop. And it's an edible cover crop. It's not a good time to pick vegetables if you plan to be storing them, unless it's, of course, canning. The biodynamic outlook, moon in Cancer, it's a water sign. It's a good time to sow leafy plants. And the sidereal people have this for us, moon in Cancer. It's a good time for germination. And that's it for both the alternative forecast and the conventional one. Moving right along into news from around Cascadia. There is a great deal going on down in Coos Bay at Jordan Cove. Today is the last day to comment. There's more on that on the website, Citizens Against LNG. That's mainly, of course, Jody McCaffrey's his efforts that puts that information source out, and it's definitely the go-to place. But there is a final deadline for weighing in on part of the Jordan Cove plans. However, closer to home, there are alarming rumblings from the office of Ron Wyden, and there have been for quite some time. Right now, Wyden is, of course, the national hero of privacy advocates because of his stance on the NSA spying and his long-term commitment to holding the National Security Agency accountable for its warrantless and illegal actions. However, behind the scenes, Wyden also has a less glamorous track record. His stance on the environment has raised eyebrows and set off alarms across Cascadia. We're speaking today with program manager at BARC, Russ Plager. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning, Chris. Thanks for letting me be on the show.
Oh, welcome to the KBOO airwaves. So the latest BARC campaign is focusing on Ron Wyden. He has, back in May, he asked the Obama administration to actually, believe it or not, increase logging on national forests across the country. Many people are hypnotized by all that's going on with the NSA and of course, the Egyptian news. But right here at home in Cascadia, what have we got when it comes to confronting Wyden's rather debatable policies regarding our environment?
Well, Chris, Senator Wyden wants to gut the National Environmental Policy Act, and that would have a huge negative impact on forests and public lands nationwide. Think about it as the biggest attack on environmental laws since the Bush era rollbacks. The other thing that the senator is proposing is to boost timber harvesting on millions of acres of land here in Oregon. He says he wants to do that because it's going to solve budget problems in rural Oregon counties. Really, that's only going to perpetuate the boom and bust cycle for the communities and the forests.
And in Cascadia, in Oregon, BARC, of course, has been in a leadership role as far as confronting this. Other states, are they are they taking a position on this? Are there states where forests are, in fact, under attack because of these policies?
Yes, actually, there's concern all the way to the national level with, from small to large environmental groups across the country. We're encouraging people to take action now. You can go to our website, www.bark-out.org, and take action. You can also join in on a national call day next week on Wednesday, July 17th.
Well,
you can call Senator Wyden's office here in Portland at 503-326-7525. It's really important that the senator hear from Oregonians and also your friends from around the country that we want our public forests protected now and for the future.
We're talking about more than 450 million acres of public land, and Wyden is the chair of the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee. Just say that sentence alone is certainly cause for alarm. Sometimes these committee names sort of roll by and we don't pay much attention, but when you think that this is energy and natural resources, we can see exactly where the priorities are in the U.S. government. This is truly alarming, and it's time to make those phone calls. I want to thank you so much for joining us today, Russ. We'll put all that information on the KBOO website. It's definitely time to take action right now.
Yeah, it is. Thanks, Chris. We really want your listeners to know that when somebody as powerful as Senator Wyden says he wants to streamline and modernize our environmental laws, that's a scary thing. So thanks for having me on the show.
And it takes 2 minutes to make a phone call. It takes millions of years for a forest to evolve. Think about it. Moving right along, we have there's a new audit. It's new. It's unaffiliated. It's the audit of 6 Portland police shootings and 1 death in custody. There are a series of problems that continue to plague officers' use of deadly force, and they do seem to have a fondness for tasers. More on that story, and we'll try to get that up on the website as soon as possible. Charlie Hales also seems to be experiencing some transition blues down at City Hall. Well, what did we expect? We've got a guy that is linked to the private sector and is a drone in the army that is seeking to corporatize pretty much every aspect of public life in this country. And on the subject of this country and self-interest, we want to look at the U.S. as policies regarding Egypt, if there is a policy. Here is where we separate the diplomats from the officials. We don't have any diplomats. We've got officials. They're struggling to understand Egypt. Someone who understands Egypt very, very well is our next guest, Susan Lindauer. We haven't spoken to Susan for a while. She, of course, is the author of Extreme Prejudice, a book which is worth reading not once, but maybe every year, just to remind ourselves of what Susan went through and what any one of us, for that matter, might face at any point in the future, especially under these new draconian warrantless wiretapping. I don't know where to begin with that. Phones, everything. This program, for that matter. Good morning, Susan. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Chris, it is so great to be back. I had a fantastic talk in Portland. It's been out on YouTube and it's hit over 1 million views.
We're posting links to that. That's something that we would commend to listeners' attention. Because we're short of time, this last bit is going to serve as an introduction to a longer interview tomorrow, if you're willing to come back. Just briefly,
Absolutely.
To get us started, the situation in Egypt has confounded the U.S.
The situation,
State Department.
Yes. The situation in Egypt is absolutely the worst case scenario for the Obama administration. It is a total failure of Obama's foreign policy, a complete repudiation of the past 5 years of his administration. Obama had tried to raise up the Muslim Brotherhood, had supported democratic revolutions. Now, one of the things the pro-war left gets very upset about is this information. The CIA and the National Endowment for Democracy and various front organizations for the CIA financed and trained the rebels in all of these countries, Egypt, Tunisia, Syria, Libya, all of these Arab countries where you've seen revolutions, that they've tried to say that they are indigenous, homegrown. They are not. They absolutely are not. These are CIA creations. And what Hillary Clinton's foreign policy, because this was her dream, was that she had this sort of we considered it delusional. I came on your show and said it was a fantasy, Chris.
Yep.
That democracy would create, that the Arab Spring rebellions would result in a democracy similar to what we see in the United States. And at the time, those of us who are Arabists, who really know the Arab people, I covered Iraq and Libya at the United Nations, Egypt, Syria, Hezbollah, Malaysia at the UN, Yemen, and I those of us who saw this coming warned and shouted from the rooftops, get away from this. This is a mistake. And we told them that it would fail, but it is a spectacular catastrophe.
Susan, hold on.
And we are now looking at long-term civil war.
Indeed, and this is going to make what happened, of course, in Iraq look like a pony ride. Susan, I'd like to invite you back tomorrow. We'll devote the whole show tomorrow to talking about this. So, listeners, this is an intro. Susan indeed knows whereof she speaks, and it's nice to finally get a voice of clarity into the conversation. Thanks again for that. My guest has been Susan Lindar, author of Extreme Prejudice and Middle East Expert. This has been a Cascadia for Wednesday, July 10th, 2013. Kurt Lau engineered the show today. Thank you so much, Kurt. Kathleen Stevenson is a KBOO AM News and Public Affairs.